Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 17, and I want to read starting with verse number 5, Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5. Praise God. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding. Praise God. You see, Jeremiah's giving two contrasts here. I mean, complete contrast. The life of the cursed and the life of the blessed. Amen. I want to live that life. Amen. I want to have God's blessing. Don't you? I want the blessing of the Lord. I certainly don't want to live in such a way as to have no hope, to be under this curse of no hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Now, whenever a person, I think we all recognize that God is our hope. He is the God of hope. That's just another one of the titles of our Lord, the God of hope. That's who He is. That describes another attribute, an aspect of His nature and His character. God is the God of hope. Amen. Now, when there is no hope in your life or in your circumstance or whatever you're dealing with, then you're in a situation where you see there seems to be no way out. There doesn't seem to be anyone that's listening. There doesn't seem to be any answers. It's just hopelessness. You're overwhelmed and you can't find a way. That's the life of no hope. But God has promised us that He's the God of all hope. He's the only source of hope. We hope in the Lord. Amen. You know that Satan, he's the proponent of hopelessness. That comes from the enemy. Hopelessness comes from Satan. He's the one that tells you that lie and convinces you that there is no hope for you, no hope in your situation, no hope for your family, no hope for your sickness, no hope for your trouble or your finances or whatever it is. It's the enemy. He's the one. He is the source of hopelessness. God is the source of our hope. Amen. Praise God. See, in the Lord, you see hope in hopeless situations. In the Lord, when it does seem like there's no answer and no cure and no possible solution, the answer is in God. Amen. It's interesting, the Greek word for hope is the word ELPO in the Greek, and it just means to look forward to with confidence and expectation. Hope, looking forward. We talked a lot about that in the last few weeks, talking about how that we need to be on a forward track. We need to be moving forward, and the only way that you can go forward is to be looking forward. Amen. If you look back, you're in real danger of going back. So you can't look back. You only look forward. Like the apostle said, from this day forward, this one thing I do, pressing forward, pressing toward the mark for the prize. That's what the Greek word for hope is the word that means to look forward with confidence and expectation. You cannot do that unless you have received hope. from God. Amen. Unless you know the God of all hope, you cannot look at the future. I have to tell you, there's all kinds of winds of trouble and adversity and all kinds of reasons. Naturally, you can look at all the things that you're faced with, I'm faced with. Most every one of us have circumstances, and we can look at these things and say, all around me, there is no hope. But when I look to the Lord, when I look up, then I know He's the God of all hope, and I know that if I'm looking to Him, then I have great expectation. I have great confidence in the Lord that God has the answer, and God is the one who can give us hope. Hallelujah. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Three things in that verse of scripture that I just kind of, you know, outlined. And I do that a lot. If I'll read a verse and think, okay, what is this saying? And usually I'll outline it and see there's two or three or maybe more themes that are here. And so I did that with Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope, the God of hope, or He's the divine source. Number one, He's the He is the divine source of hope. Amen. You have to look to the Lord. You have to call upon the Lord. You have to walk with the Lord. You have to be in fellowship with the Lord because He's the divine source. He's the God of hope. And it says that He would fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. What does it mean to abound in hope? It means that there is enough to spare. It means that there is a supply of hope that's overflowing. It is beyond measure. It cannot be measured. Amen. The God of hope, He's the source of hope. And then He has said, if you'll put your trust in me, I'll cause you to abound in hope. You will have a greater, great, overflowing supply of hope. Amen. See, the enemy, he will cause you to say, if I could just have a little glimmer of hope. You've heard that before. If I could just have a little ray of hope, if I could just see just some little indication, a little ray of hope, that would help me. But that's not the God we serve. God is the God who wants us to hope abounding, overflowing, with more hope than you could ever, ever imagine, because He's the source of this hope. More than enough. If you'll wait on God, if you'll trust the Lord, if you'll put your complete confidence in the Lord, then there will be more than enough. It's worth waiting on God's answer. It's worth waiting on God to break through for you and to move for your family or for your children or for those lost loved ones or your need or problem, whatever that it might be. It's worth waiting on because God's answer is great. It's mighty. It's wonderful. When God does something, He does something mighty. That's His nature. He does great and mighty things that you don't even know anything about, that you can't even comprehend, greater than you can ever imagine. That's the nature of God. Hallelujah. He's the divine source of hope. He wants us, number two, to abound in hope. And then this verse says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. That this hope has its source in a spiritual experience. A spiritual encounter with God. Amen. Amen. That's what we've been hearing about tonight with this jail ministry. That they come into the services and they're downcast and they're full of, you know, their faces are hard. And that's hopelessness. Despair. My life is over. My life is wrecked. I have no future. That's what their countenance is saying. No doubt that's what a lot of them are believing. But they get into a service where the Lord is being glorified, where the Word of God is coming forth. Testimonies and songs are coming forth that glorify and honor God. And there's a working and a moving of the Spirit of God. There's a spiritual experience. And it changes them from hopelessness to having hearts full of hope. Amen. They get a hold of it. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God can reveal Himself in that place of despair? And He'll do that for you too. He'll help you in your circumstance, no matter how hopeless it may seem to be. Your hope is in God. So that's my little outline for Romans 15 and 13. He's the divine source of hope. He causes us to abound in hope. And then number three, hope comes from that encounter, that spiritual experience whereby we know the Lord and we understand that God is real and mighty and can do all things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Jeremiah, he gives us these, in these few verses, he gives us this contrast. The life that is cursed and the life that is blessed. The life that is cursed and the life that is blessed. The cursed life is the result of a man who trusts in himself. That's what it says. The cursed life comes because you're looking for your own answers, your own cures. You're looking for your own way out. You're trying to scramble around and devise some solution or some answer or some cure. Don't trust in men. Amen. Don't put your trust. The cursed life is the result of people who trust in themselves. Amen. That's what he says. Cursed be the man that trusteth in men and maketh flesh his arm. Maketh flesh his arm. He trusts in his own strength. He looks to men with solutions and answers instead of crying out to God. Amen. You know what? Oftentimes people say, well, these conversions, these are just jailhouse conversions. Do you know many, many of our conversions, it might have not been in a actual jail, but conversion, many times what has to happen before people get saved is they have to realize that they are bound and they're imprisoned in some hopeless situation and they begin to cry out to God, Lord, I've got to have help. Deliver me from this situation that I'm in. Amen. So you might not have been in jail, but you were bound in sin. You were bound by the things of this world, and you couldn't help yourself. You couldn't deliver yourself. Cursed life is the life that trusts in himself. And it says, whose heart departeth from the Lord. What should be your need? Your need should drive you to a deeper walk with the Lord. Yes, it should. It should drive you to the Lord. It should cause you to run to the Lord, to be in prayer, and to be in the presence of God. Amen. But instead, the cursed life is the life who trusts in men and departs from the Lord. Walks away from the Lord and from the things of God. Amen. Isn't it interesting how that we are prone? We'll be discouraged by the counsel of men or what men say, other people say. But then when God brings his promises to us, we're not encouraged by them. We listen to men and our heart is cast down. But when we read the promises of God or hear about the promises of God, we don't lay hold of those. We trust in men more than God, more than the promises of the Lord. Your heart is going to be defeated by circumstances. Allow your need. Years ago, I remember preaching, and I called the message, all you need is a need. Isn't it true? Amen. You can just be going along, everything going real good, and you think, oh, this is easy. Then you get hit with some trouble, some problem, some need. And that need has the power to cause you to press in to God, to admit your need of help from the Lord, and you cry out to the Lord. For some, the cursed life is the person who trusts in himself, and then in his trouble, he departs from the Lord. It says that verse 6, this cursed person is like the heath in the desert. He's like the bush. It's like the tumbleweed in the desert. He shall not see good when it cometh. I mean, even if it does rain in the desert, there's no way from them to even benefit. They're so dried up and so fruitless and so lifeless that even if rain or moisture does come, they don't get any good out of it. Because it is dry. He shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Oh, the life of the cursed person who turns away from the Lord, who trusts in man and can't even, he gets himself in such a condition that he can't even receive help from the Lord. That's the cursed life. I want the blessed life. Amen. I want the life that is blessed of the Lord. It says in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You cry out to God. You trust in the Lord. You say, oh, I've prayed about this need for a long time. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Amen. Don't give up. Don't lose sight of the promises of God. For some, it might be weeks and months, even years. But you hold on to the Lord. The blessed life is the person who trusts God no matter what is happening and no matter how long it takes before the answer comes. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. I read this statement this week. That God loves the sound of your voice. When I read that, I just thought, isn't that something? God loves the sound of your voice. Now, the whole week I was in Nicaragua, I was in contact with my wife, you know, texting. I had called AT&T to see, and as long as I had a wireless connection down there, I could text her with no extra charge. So we would go, and every once in a while, even driving right through the city of Matagalpa, my phone would ding. I had a text message, and I had hit a hotspot in downtown and picked up a signal. Then I knew that I could text at that spot. I could text my wife, and she'd get the message. And we went to every morning. We would leave the compound and go to a hotel there, and that's where we would have breakfast every morning. And they had a wireless signal there, so my phone would pick up that wireless signal and we could communicate, talk back and forth by text message. It's really nice to be all those thousands of miles away. It was nice, but when I got to Houston coming back, then I could call her and I got to hear her voice. And that was better than a text message. A lot better than a text message. Do you know the Lord loves to hear the sound of your voice? Isn't that a wonderful thought? That whenever you go to the Lord in prayer, you may think, well, my prayers don't mean nothing, and I can't get much said. I can't accomplish much in prayer. Oh, but he wants to hear your voice. He just wants to know that you're reaching out to him. He just wants to know that you're calling upon the Lord. Doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. Doesn't have to be something that's all thought through. It just has to be an expression of your heart with your voice, lifting up your voice to the Lord. Amen. The blessed life is the life of trusting God, putting your trust in the Lord. The Bible says that this person that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. The cursed man is like the tumbleweed who's not planted and he's in a dry, salty place where there's no fruit and he can't even benefit from the rain. But God, he plants you. And it's interesting because the Hebrew word, which you know I'm not a scholar of Greek or Hebrew, but I know how to look it up. And I looked it up, and the Hebrew word planted in this text, it doesn't mean planted, it means transplanted. That just means to me that he uproots you from that dry place and plants you by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. He uproots you from the dry place and he places you, you are planted, you're positioned where you can always be in contact with the Lord. He plants you by the rivers of water. And you know that river, Ezekiel saw that vision of that river that was flowing out of the throne of God. And he said of that river, he said, whithersoever that river comes, whatever, it will live. Anything that's touched by that river is going to live. That's why the Lord plants you by the river. Because you're in contact with Him and you're in fellowship with Him. And you can receive from the Lord. So you're planted by the Lord. And not only that, but He takes care of you. You're planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when the heat cometh. See, the wonderful benefit of a close walk and a fellowship with the Lord, of walking with the Lord on a daily basis and being planted by that river, is that the storm comes and the heat comes and the troubles come and all these circumstances come against you. You don't wither away. You don't die. You don't lose hope. You remain confident. And it's really, this verse is like, to me, it's like saying, you don't see when the heat cometh. It's like you don't even feel it. You don't even sense it when the trouble and the pressure comes, because you are in such contact and fellowship with the Lord that the heat comes and you don't really feel the impact of it. But instead, her leaf shall be green. You'll be fruitful right in the midst of your trouble, right in the midst of your sickness or whatever you're going through. You will experience the faithfulness of God to take care of you. And not only will you survive, notice what it says, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall you cease from yielding fruit. Amen. Do you know that when you put your trust in the Lord, your trouble, by the grace of God, can become a triumph in your life? Your trial can be something that God turns it for, not only for your good, but for the glory of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, here I am, I'm in prison. I'm in prison for the gospel's sake, but don't mistake what's going on here. I have been placed here by the Lord. Amen. And the gospel's going to be furthered. And it's going to be in king's palaces, and there's going to be open doors. Sure, I'm in trouble and I'm suffering and I'm going through this but God has so ordained that I be in this place because He wants His name to be glorified, and He's opening doors in palaces. Hallelujah. Give me opportunity to preach the gospel. The blessed life is the life of hope. Amen. We're not to trust in ourselves, but our hope is in God. Your life, your future, because you belong to the Lord, your future, it's in the Lord's hands. What a wonderful, safe place to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a wonderful thing to know that God is able to transplant us to a place where we're planted by the rivers of water. So when trials come and the heat is on and the pressures are on and you're going through all these things, you survive it. You not only survive it, but you thrive and you're fruitful and you're blessed. And everyone looks on at you and they say, how can you go through this and still have hope? It's because you've tapped in to this divine source, this river that whatever it touches, it heals. Whatever it touches, lives. And you're in contact and fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we serve a God of hope, do we not? We serve a God of hope. Hallelujah. Our boy came home Monday, and he is in great need. Very small, little. It's always little anyway, but he's in great need. I have to tell you, in the last couple of days, the Lord's proven to me, shown me, that God is the God of hope. Hallelujah. God is the God of hope. And my trust is in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And I'm believing God. This morning, out of the clear, James Hacker sent me a little email. Opened the email and he said, I thought you might. He said, I just came across this. And I thought you'd want to hear this. 2007, a little short audio recording at the close of the Bible class. And Brother Huff had taught, apparently, on the family, the home. And so it just starts, the recording, it's less than 3 minutes long. It starts with his prayer as he closes the class, praying for families. And then at the close of his prayer, some of you might have been here, the Lord moves upon him, and like only he could, he began to speak in tongues. And then at the close of that time of speaking in tongues, he interpreted that message. And that message was a message for all of us, I'm sure. But for me, I just thought, Lord, isn't it interesting that out of the clear, that you could send a word to me, that you are the God that is aware of what we are in need of, and that he can work in families and move in families. Hallelujah. I just thought, Lord, where did this come from? Why did he send this? He's never done that to me before, but he said, sent a little email that just said, I thought maybe your family might appreciate this. He didn't know what was going on or that our boy had come home. James had no idea, but he sent me this message, which to me was a direct word from the Lord to me and to my wife. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm reminded here tonight that God, and I want to remind you, get a hold of the Word of God and understand that he is the God of hope. He is the God of hope. The cursed life is the life that trusts in your own answers, your own ability. The cursed life is the life that trusts in the arm of the flesh. The cursed life is the life of the person who, instead of trusting God, departs from the Lord. You're isolated and you're dry and you're empty and you're hopeless, like that bush in the desert. I don't want to be there. I want to be pulled up and transplanted to be placed by the rivers of water, where I can at all times draw from this wonderful divine source, our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember this the next time you pray. God loves the sound of your voice. He wants you to just say, Lord, I'm just like your little boy, and I need my Heavenly Father to help me. And he will. Hallelujah. He wants to hear the sound of your voice. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have caused us to live the blessed life. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you that you have given us hope, and that hope is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we trust in you. We don't trust in the arm of the flesh. We don't lean up on our own ability, Lord. We don't run from you. We run to you, Lord, because we want to be blessed. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know you're the God of all hope. And that we are trusting in you today, Lord, because we know you're the answer who can bring deliverance and can bring healing and work miracles, Lord, in all of our lives, in all of our situations. And oh, we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I just pray, Lord, for every person here in this place tonight. God, I don't know the burdens. I don't know the needs. I know that every family, every man and woman, everybody in this place, Lord, there are troubles and there are burdens and there are needs. I'm so thankful, Lord, we can trust you. But I just pray, Lord, would you help us all to get a hold of this, to lay hold of this wonderful promise that you are the God of all hope. Hallelujah. You are that wonderful source of hope. And you're here tonight to meet our needs. And we thank you for that.